We're in the middle of Torah Lamed from Likutei Moran towards the end. In our Likutei Morans, it's within the last paragraph Ches. It's on page 99, the left-hand column, which begins in the middle of the column where it begins with the words Zois HaTorah. Rav Nissen Zal writes, we finished covering this chapter on Likutei Moran, and now we have an appendix to this Torah. Rav Nissen Zal writes, Zois HaTorah hischi loimar al posuk vayhi miketz shnosayim yomim. When Rav Nissen gave this shir, he started off quoting the Parsha of the week. This was Shabbos Chanukah that he gave this shir. And he started off quoting the beginning of Parshas Miketz, which they read that Shabbos. Vayhi miketz shnosayim yomim uparoi choylem. That posuk. Ach loy siyem levayar zeh posuk al pi HaTorah zois. However, in the shir itself, Rabbeinu Zal didn't follow the usual style that he does, which is first to have a whole discussion, and then to go back and show how that whole discussion is found in the pasuk that he quoted. How in that pasuk is included all the ideas that were discussed. That's the usual style in many chapters in Likutei Moran. Here he didn't go back to do that. V'omar achar kach, and Rabbeinu Zal said afterwards, She'im hoyoroitze l'sayim pirush ha-posuk, that if he would want to go now and explain that posuk, hoyatzorech loymar oid toira kozois kedei levayar ha-posuk, he would have to give a shir as large as this shir was in order to explain the posuk, implying that even though in a sense he started basing it on that posuk, the shir went for a couple of hours, and he didn't yet get to the part of tying it back to the pasuk. And in order to do that, it would have taken another 3-4 hours. Period. This is a statement that Rav Nissen Zal mentions related to that shir. Now, there's an appendix to this whole chapter on Likutei Moran. In this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal discussed the concept of Malchus. We mentioned it a few different times. Rabbeinu Zal started off talking about the concept of Chochmah Tatoh, which we said was a nickname for Malchus. He spoke about the saros, the hairs on the head, which represented tzimtzumim of the sechel. The sechel represented chokhmah. The hair represented Malchus, which is the tzimtzumim through which the sechel comes. We spoke about the bas ayin, the pupil of the eye, that black dot in the eye, black representing the Malchus, shchoirani venova, the levona, the moon, which has no light of its own. We spoke about, and then Rabbeinu Zal said that in order to get to this Sechel HaTachtoin, the only way to get to it is through Soinei Botza, by showing that a person despises anybody else's money or any illegal money. And Rabbeinu Zal there said very clearly, Ki HaSechel HaTachtoin Hu Bechinas Malchus, Shu Bechinas Chochmah Tatoh Shebechol Olam Voilam. So several times in this Torah in Likutei Moran, he made it very clear that the whole topic of discussion is discussing the Malchus de Kedusha versus the Malchus de Klipa. He spoke about the tikkun of the Malchus de Kedusha, the Dalet of Kedusha, which is opposed by the Dalet Malchios of Klipa, which are Kolol in Amolek. And he spoke about the Vayishasef Shmuel es Agag, cutting away the Malchus de Klipa from the Malchus of Kedusha through the power of the three Yamim Toivim, Shavuos, Sukkos, Pesach, Vayishasef. Then he spoke about the Toichocha, the Hizgalus of Chesed through Toichocha, that's the Tikkun of the Malchus. All of this was discussing this concept of the Tikkun of the Malchus. Now Rabbeinu Zal adds, Mikoiloi Shelodom Yecholin Leida Es Bechinois HaMalchus Sheloi. From a person's voice, it's possible, from the sound of his voice, it's possible to detect that person's Malchus. Kiyesh b'chol echod v'echod b'chinas Malchus. Because each and every single person has a certain level of Malchus. Rabbeinu Zal mentions this in another chapter on Likutei Moran. You have, let's say, a husband who's a melech over himself, and hopefully over his wife, over his bnei bayis. You have, let's say, a principal of a school who's a melech over that school. You have the head of a prison, the Sar Beis HaSoyer, he's the melech over that group. All different levels of malchus. V'hu nikar bekoiloi. The malchus of a person is recognizable in the voice. Ki ein shnei koilois shovin. because no two voices are identical. Ki koil shel kol echod v'echod meshuna mechaveroi, because each and every person's voice is different from the other person. V'alkein yecholin lahakir es adam b'koloi, and therefore one of the ways that we recognize a person to know who's talking is by the sound of their voice. Kemo shenira b'chush, as is known in normal nature of people. Ki kefi b'chinas ha'odom kein hu koiloi, because according to the madrega of the person, that's what determines the koil of the person. V'alidei ha'koil yecholin lahakir es b'chinas ha'malchus sheloi, and through the koil, it's possible to recognize the person's malchus. Rabbi Nezal explains now. Ki yesh koil anois gevura, the koil anois chalusha. We find when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, when the Jews got involved in the worshipping the golden calf, it says that at that time he heard sounds. And he asked Yehoshua, what's that noise I hear? So Yehoshua said something. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned these two types of sounds, a koil of gevura, a koil of strength, or a koil chalusha, or a koil of weakness. So Rabbi Nezal says, there are these two extremes. There's a koil of gvura, representing a strong degree of malchus, or there's chalusha, representing the malchus in a very low level. Kefi b'chinas ha-malchus shel kol echod, according to the relative to the degree of malchus of the person. The alkein, and therefore, Shaul shehoya roideif es David, when Shaul ha-melech, when his kingdom was being threatened by Dovid HaMelech, because Shmuel Hanavi had been instructed by Hashem to anoint Dovid HaMelech as king, and then Shaul went and started chasing after Dovid HaMelech. He tried to kill him, he tried to destroy him. So the Torah says over there that when Shaul HaMelech was chasing after Dovid HaMelech, Al Shero Oboy Sheyim Loich, because Shaul HaMelech was able to detect and to see that this was the one who was going to replace him in kingdom. Motzinu sham b'mikra, we find over there in the pasuk, kishenizdamnu yachad Shaul v'David, that when these two, Shaul HaMelech and Dovid HaMelech, came together, Omar loy Shaul David, Shaul HaMelech said to Dovid HaMelech, hakoylech ze b'ni David, is that your voice, Dovid HaMelech, my son Dovid HaMelech? Shehevin Shaul b'hakoil shehu chozok b'bechinas ha-malchus. Shaul HaMelech heard in the voice of Dovid HaMelech, he recognized the strength as Melech. He recognized that that was the sound of a king's voice. V'shoal es David, and therefore he asked Dovid HaMelech, hakoilech ze b'ni David, is that your voice, Dovid HaMelech? Meaning, shetamo Shaul al koiloi shel David. Shaul HaMelech was amazed at the voice of Dovid HaMelech, ki hevin shehu koil shel melech mamish, because he understood that that's the sound of the voice of a king, because the kingdom is recognizable through the voice. V'alkein rotzo Shaul loses es koiloi. Therefore, what did Shaul HaMelech wanted to do? He wanted to counter the voice of Dovid HaMelech. He wanted to raise his voice above Dovid HaMelech's. V'alkein rotzo Shaul loses es koiloi. Dahainu lahagbia es koiloi lemala mikoiloi shel David. He wanted to lift his voice up over Dovid HaMelech's voice, above Dovid HaMelech's voice. Avol loyhoyo yochel, but he couldn't, because his malchus was already over at the time. This was a sign that his malchus was not the one to have a kiyum then. Vizehu, this is why the pasuk says, Vayiso Shaul es koiloi vayevk. So Shaul HaMelech lifted up his voice and he cried. Rabbi Nezal explains, what does it mean he lifted up his voice? Dahainu sherotzo loseis ulahagbia koilo kanal. He attempted to raise his voice above Dovid HaMelech's. Avol hoyo hakoil nivke. But the voice was a crying voice, which means weak, a weak sound. Vze bechinas vayevk, and this is why the pasuk says he cried. Shehoyo hakoil nivke. The word for weakness, a voice, is nivke. Milosh novuch, in other words, a weak sounding voice. Koil nomuch shel bechia. It was the weak voice of a person that's crying. When a person's crying, usually it's not from strength, it's because it's a sign of weakness. It's a sign that the person's been overcome or harmed or defeated in some way. Alkein Omar Shol, or the person feels defeated. Alkein Omar Shol Ozel David. Therefore, at that moment is when the Novi says, Shol HaMelech said to David HaMelech, Yodati, I know, Ki Moloich Timloich, that you are going to take over the kingdom. Ki Yodaze Al Yedei HaKoil Kanal. Because he knew it from this voice. In other words, why Bedavka does the Torah give this introduction? That he saw David HaMelech and he asked him, he heard David HaMelech, he asked him, is that your voice? And David HaMelech said, yes. And then he said, I know that you're going to be king, but such and such. In those words was hidden the whole secret to how to detect a person's malchus. It's in the person's voice. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that the person who can yell the loudest is the king, because we find a president, lahavdil, of a country who's ruling over 200 million people, and it's not necessarily because he can outshout all 200 million, but it means that there's a certain concept of an authoritativeness, which even again, the Torah testifies about Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say, that he was Onov Moed Mikol Adam Ashel Pnei Adama. He was the most modest person imaginable. Person would say, it seems logical that these two are a contradiction. Modesty and Koil of Malchus seems that in order to be a Melech, you have to be super authority, which seems to be the opposite of modesty. And yet we know that's not the case. We know that both are true. So obviously, there's a certain depth here in terms of being able to really understand how we detect from a person's voice their malchus. But the fact is that it is identifiable in the voice. That there's no question about. And by David HaMelech especially, we know that Torah testifies about him, about his negina, about his singing. That David HaMelech was known as the Ne'im Zemirois Yisrael, because this concept of Zemirois, specifically negina, is what represents the binyan, chius, and tikkun of the malchus dikdusha. The building up and the life juice and the tikkun of the malchus dikdusha. This is something Rav Nosson Zal mentions in Likutei Halachos a few times based on Torah Gimel in Likutei Moran, Chelek Aleph, where Rabbeinu Zal there discusses the topic of negina, hearing negina from kedusha versus hearing it from the other side. And Rav Nosson Zal explains that this item of negina especially represents the tikkun of the malchus dikdusha. This would explain, to a degree, why bedavka on Shabbos there's such emphasis on zmirois, because Shabbos is the malchus. The 7 days of the week correspond to the seven spheros. Yoim Rishon is Chesed, Yoim Sheni is Gevura, and so on and so forth. Shabbos is malchus. Shabbos is a time when a Jew exercises the koil most. When this koil of negina is emphasized more than anything. And in fact, the word zemirois itself, which means to sing, zemer means to sing, the word lizmoir also means to cut, lachtoich. The Arizal says, azamer bishvochin, I will slice away, with my songs, I will slice away the klipois, the tumor, which is what Rabbeinu Zal spoke about in this Torah Likut Imran, that the malchus, specifically, because it's the lowest level of the kedusha, it shares space. The closest thing to it is the tumah itself. And there always has to be that process of slicing away the malchus from what could easily attach itself to it, the klipois. That's done through this zmirois, through the koil of kedusha, which is bichlal, the koil of divrei Torah. That's one example of this manifestation of malchus kedusha. And also through the negina of kedusha, this singing. Now, Rav Nosson Zal, in Likutei Halachos, there's 15, 20 different places where he explains this chapter in Likutei Moran.
Quick question, though. The whole thing talking about voices, are there no two voices alike? Even though you find whether or not, while they may not be alike, a father and a son, or a mother and a daughter, is there any relationship to such close similarity of voices and styles of speaking?
The answer is most definitely, because they're connected in this concept of malchus. A family is considered to be a unit of Malchus. The Gemara says, bro kara davua, a son is a leg of the father. The legs are the Malchus. The whole concept of the tikkun of the Malchus Digdusha is what's passed down from father to son. We say, ledor vodor, nagid godlecho, that from generation to generation, they give over the godless of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah, ledor vodor hamlichu lokel, kihu levadoi morim v'kodosh. From generation, Rav Nosson Zal brings these psukim, there's like 10, 15 such psukim in the Torah, emphasizing that dor ledor yeshabach masecho ugvorisecho yagidu, that the whole hishtalshulus of the Malchus goes from father to son, from rabbi to student. So there definitely is a reason why there should be similarity in the voices, but yet not 100% identical. We started to say that Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos gives many, many explanations and examples to understand this Torah in Likutei Moran more clearly. One of the points that he stresses in terms of emphasizing this concept of the koil being the Malchus, there's a pasuk, Kabed es Hashem mehoincha, that a Jew is required to show Hashem kovod. Mehoincha means from your wealth, from everything you possess. Now, kovod we know is Malchus. We mentioned many, v'yavoi melech ha-kovod, the pasuk says. So the Gemara darshans on this pasuk, Kabed es Hashem mehoincha, Al tikri mehoincha elo migroincha. The word hoincha rhymes with groincha, meaning your throat. That the ikr kovoid of Hashem, which means the ikr revelation of Malchus, comes from the throat, from the coil of a person. The more a person speaks words of Kedusha, diburim of Torah, diburim of Tefillah, the more that person's own Malchus is growing, and the more the person is being mamlech Hashem. That's the ikar being mamlech Hashem is through the coil of a person. We find also, Rav Nosson Zal mentions, if you look in Mishlei and in other places in the Navi, there are several times where it speaks about a melech, and referring to the melech, it nicknames him Oshir. It uses the word Oshir to mean melech, a wealthy person. Because we know generally the pasuk says v'ha oisher v'ha kovoid milfonecho. Again, both of these go together. Ashirus is a sign of malchus, a sign of authority, and is wealth. V'ha, the koyin godol, who was the melech over the other koyhanim, the pasuk says v'ha koyin hagodol me'echov. The Gemara says gadleu me'echov. You're supposed to let him go first in washing his hands, in choosing the best portion for himself. He's the melech, you have an obligation to make him wealthy, that he should have wealth over the others. The posuk says, Vehe oshir yane azus, that an oshir speaks with a certain rebelliousness, or again, a certain toughness, a certain strength. The ashirus, the malchus, is reflected in the azus, which again is something Rabbi Nezal spoke about in this Torah Likutei Moran, the Azus Dikdusha versus the other type of Azus, also reflections of Malchus, Malchus Dikdusha and the other kind of Malchus, showing again the emphasis that it's all tied into the coil. The coil is through what you can tell the degree of Malchus of the person. Therefore, Rabbi Nosson Zal says, if you take a look at the beginning of the Malchus, the revelation of the Malchus of Hashem through the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, that was at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. While the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they were enslaved, avodim. Eved is the opposite of melech. Tachas eved kiyim loich, the pasuk says. Yetzias Mitzrayim is when Hashem said about Bnei Yisrael, Va'atem tihiyuli mamleches koyhanim v'goy kodosh. That's when Hashem said, I want Bnei Yisrael to be Malchus. This Malchus was represented in the koil. That's why we have the Shiras Hayam. When they finally defeated the Mitzrayim, solid, Oz Yoshir Moshe Bnei Yisrael Sashir Azois Vayomru Leimor. That's when they were able to sing, because of the Malchus. They were no longer Avodim, they became Malachim, you see immediately singing. And in fact, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Novi, speaking about the future when Mashiach will come, and the Malchus Tikdush shall really be established, the Pasuk says, Hashir Yihi Elohim Kaleil Hiskadesh Chog, that then the Yidden are going to sing a song like they did on Pesach, Kaleil Hiskadesh Chog, like the song of Pesach. In fact, Rabbi Nosson says, the word Pesach itself is Pesach, the mouth speaks, the koil. If that's the holiday when the Jews were established as a nation, when the Malchus of Am Yisrael began, it's all Dibur. And how did this come about? Because they defeated Mitzrayim. Who was at the helm of the ship of Mitzrayim? Paroi. The Arizal says that Paroi is the word Paroi, Peresh Ayin Hey, makes up the letters Ho'oiref, the back of the neck. Because just as we stressed in this Torah Likutei Moran that the Malchus Dikdusha and the Malchus de Sidra Achra are always side by side, they're always close to each other, and that's why Malchus is so dangerous, because it's the closest thing to the Tumah. The Tumah is always right there lurking to draw. If Koil is Malchus, then the Malchus de Klipa has to be right there. Where is it? In back. The back of the neck. In other words, lahavdil, when a person speaks diburim of kiddusha, then the diburim are coming from the front, from the ponim. Whereas the Arizal explains what paroi, what the tumah tries to do, they're always trying to draw from the achoiraim, from the back, in this case specifically the back of the neck. And this is why when Moshe Rabbeinu first met with paroi, the first time he presented himself and Aaron HaKohen to paroi, what was paroi's response? Mi Hashem asher eshma bekoiloi. Who is Hashem that I have to listen to his voice? Notice he was saying, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are coming as a melech to me. You're coming as melech Yisrael. I have a malchus also. I am paroi. I am ho'oref. You draw from koil. I draw from koil also. We'll see whose koil will win. And that was the whole battle here. That's why the Torah emphasizes Vayitzaku el Hashem. How did they win? Through a hisgabrus of koilos. They scream to Hashem. Every time the Jews are in trouble, when somebody wants to knock them down, somebody wants to enslave them in any way, the way that the Yidden have a tekuma, the way that they rise in Malchus, is always through a hisgabrus of this koil. 100%. The word Mitzrayim, the Arizal says, the word Meitzar means constriction. The Arizal says, Miloshen Meitzar Hagoroim. The throat represents a tremendous place of tzimtzum between the head and the lower part of the body. The head representing the Ruchnius, the lower part of the body representing the Gashmius. This is the tzimtzum. Just like we said here, that the sechel has to go me'ilo le'olo, you know, from tzimtzum to tzimtzum down, the goroin, because it's a place of tzimtzum, therefore there's this danger of the klipos being yoinek from there. And this is why, when we celebrate Pesach, we celebrate with matzah. One of the main foods that we use is matzah. The pasuk says matzah is called lechem oini. And the Gemara darshins, she'oinen olov dvorim harbe. The mitzvah to speak a lot on the matzah. Kol hamarbe lesaper hareze mishubuch. That whole concept of the night of Pesach, that there's a mitzvah to talk a lot. Since when? The Gemara is always big on mincing words. Why b'davka so much emphasis on talking a lot? Because that's the night of establishing the malchus of Hashem, the malchus of Klal Yisrael. That's this lechem sho'inen olav harbe. What's os, and that's matzah. And there's an isur of chometz. What's different between chometz and matzah? Rav Nosson says, the difference is the koil, the sound. Why? Because what is koil? Koil is avir. The whole concept of a person making sound is dependent on the lungs, the windpipe. That's where the whole sound comes from. The whole breathing apparatus and the speaking are all one in the same. They're very much connected. Rav Nosson Zal says, just as there's a coil of the Malchus Dikdusha, there's a coil of the Malchus de Sidra Achra. We spoke about it. Malchus, Amalek, Agag, all of them, they have a coil also. the concept of an Isur of Chometz. Chometz means where Avir, there was a Hiskabrus of the Avir that caused the bread to rise. That rising is from air. That air represents the coil of the Sitra Achra. That on Pesach we make a distinction. We show a distinction between Matzah, Lechem Oini, coil of Kedusha, versus Chometz, which is the coil Chalusha, this coil of the Sitra Achra from this Avir HaTomei, the wrong side. This is why Rav Moshe Zal says also we find by the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, the Koyhanim were the ones who did One important point. Rav Moshe Zal stresses that coil itself, and this is based on the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh in many places discusses coil and dibur. And it refers to coil as an unfinished item in a sense. Whereas dibur represents the shlemus of coil. Coil stam isn't anywhere near as useful and can't be interpreted as clearly as dibur. Rav Nosson Zal says that by coil, it's possible, it's much easier for the tumah to have a yanika from it also. It's malchus, coil of kedusha, coil of the sitra achra. It's when the coil gets translated into dibur, that's when its shlemus comes about. Dibur is also malchus. So that in a sense, koil is one form of malchus. Dibur is a higher level of tikkun of malchus. And that's why Rav Nosson Zal says the achievement of Moshe Rabbeinu was, in other words, bichlal. When we hear this concept, the Gemara says there's a cruise that goes out every day where Hashem says, you know, that everybody should do tshuva or everybody should listen to the Torah. And yet we see that even after the cruise, people, they're still Rishoyim, they're still Goyim, etc. So what's the story? Rav Nosson Zal explains it's the tzaddikim who was zeche to affect a tikkun of malchus to the extent where they were zeche that Hashem spoke to them, literally spoke to them. That's when the malchus is bishlemus. That's when this tikkun is complete. That's why it says by Moshe Rabbeinu that he heard the koil midaber elov mibein shnei akruvim. When the koil is converted to dibur, that's when this koil, that's when this malchus is really kitikuna. Koil stam like this is a form of malchus, but it's only the koil being translated into dibur that represents shlemus. And this is why Rav Moshe Zal explains, when the Kohanim served in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim offered the Karbonos. While they were doing that, the Levim sang, that was the koil, and the Israelim spoke certain verses of Torah, the Ma'amodos that they said at that time. That's this kesher of koil and dibur. The Levim and the Israelim represent this kesher of koil and dibur. This is one of about 15 or 20 examples that Rav Moshe Zal gives in Likutei Moran, applying this chapter of Likutei Moran to understand Yiddishkeit. One other example that Rav Moshe Zal gives in talking about the concept of judges, Hilchas Dayonim. We know that in Klal Yisrael there's a concept of Mishpat. If two Jews have a conflict between them, they're obligated and they can't resolve it among themselves, they have to go to a Bezdin. The concept of a riv, a machlokes between two Jews, represents a pegam in malchus. Why? Because the Mishnah says, "La'olam yehi odom mispalel l'shloimo shel malchus." A person should always daven that the government should be solid. She'il mole moiro, because if people are not afraid of the malchus, if the malchus isn't solid, ish esreyeu chayim b'loi. Then each one will swallow the other one alive. Meaning, if there's no law, then the law of the gun, the law of the Wild West, each one's going to shoot the other one, everybody will kill each other. Which means that when there is conflict, when there is this machloikis, it means there's a pigam in the malchus. The malchus isn't bishlemus. What happens when the malchus isn't bishlemus? Hashem says you have to go to a bezdin. A bezdin consists of three judges. Just as in this chapter of Likutei Moran we emphasize that the main chiyus of the malchus comes from the three yomim tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So too a person, when there's this type of machlokes, when they want to affect a tikkun of the malchus, they do it by going to three judges, three rabbis. A rabbi is a yontif. Because the Gemara says the Kiddush of Shabbos comes from Hashem. The Kiddush of Yontif comes from the rabbis. The Pasuk says, Elev Moyade Hashem Mikroi Kodesh, Asher Tikru Oysam Bemoyadam. These are the holidays which you should proclaim them at their right times. Oysam is them. The Gemara says the word Oysam is written without a vav. Asher Tikru Atem Bemoyadam, which you should proclaim, you the rabbis who have the authority to declare Rosh Chodesh, to declare when the new month begins. That's how we determine the holiday. 15th Pesach, the 15th of the month. Sukkot, 15th of the month. Shavuos, depending on the day of the month. That authority comes from the Chachomim. So a person going to three judges is a concept of going to the three Yomim Tovim. We find also that judges are called in the Torah Elohim. Ad ho Elohim yovoi dvar shnehem. The nickname for a Dayon in the Chumash is Elohim. And we know that Elohim is Malchus. The Pasuk says, Velohim Malki Mikedem. So that their purpose, the purpose of these judges, the Pasuk also says, Elohim Shoifet, Ze Yashpil, Veze Yorim. They represent the ticket of this Malchus Dikdusha. Rabbi Nazal said that in order for a person to be Misaki the Malchus, a person has to be careful for Soine Botza. That's why one of the very few instructions in the Chumash for a judge, there aren't 30 instructions, there's one instruction. The Pasuk says, V'shoichad loisikoch. That there's two instructions, actually. One is that they're not allowed to accept bribes, ki ha-shoichad ye'aver einei chachomim, because shoichad will blind the eye of the chacham. Rabbi Nazal explained in this chapter in Likud Imran that the whole power of this Chochmat HaTorah, of this Malchus, is the pupil of the eye. That's what this Chochmat HaTorah is. That's why the Torah warns the Dayon, this one who's supposed to be Misaki in the Malchus of Hedusha, be careful, don't accept graft, bribery, don't accept Shoichat, because that'll blind you, that'll be Poigem, your Bas Ayin. That'll hurt your Chochmat HaTorah. You won't have the power to figure out who's right and who's wrong, which is the whole Tikkun of the Malchus, this Sechel. Another instruction that we find that the Torah gives to Dayonim is in terms of not showing any favoritism. The Torah warns that if a rich person and a poor person come before you, don't make the poor one feel that he's any less off. We mentioned that the whole concept of Yom Tov is Oyer Haponim, the Sholosh Ponim Bashona Yerokol Zechurcho Esprei Hashem Alikecha. This Oyer Haponim, the term favoritism, when we say a person shows favoritism, that's called Nesias Ponim. Yiso Hashem Pono Veilecho means that Hashem should favor the Jews over anybody else. The fact that these three Chachomim represent the three holidays means they represent this concept of Oyer Haponim. Therefore, they have to see to it that their Oyer Haponim should be Bishleimus. By a person favoring one over the other, he shows that his Oyer Haponim is defective. He's not a Pesach. He's not a Shavuos. Because Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot represent the Oyer Haponim Bishleimus. We find also that the Pasuk says, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hevi Mesunim Badin, that a Dayan is instructed to go very slow when it comes to judging. The Gemara says, what does this mean? That if a situation comes before him where he had a similar situation before, he shouldn't be quick to assume that this is the same as that and judge, but rather he should look into it carefully again. Who knows? Maybe it's not the same. Maybe there's differences between them. This is again based on what Rabbi Nazal explained in this Torah Likut Imran, that this Sechel HaTachtoin, which represents Tzimtzumim on top of Tzimtzumim, person has to be very, very careful going from one level to the next. It takes a very, very great Chochom, Rabbi Nazal said, to be able to take this Hasoka Selukus and bring it down, down, down to this level of Chochmat HaTorah. That's why this Mesinus, this extra carefulness when it comes to judging specifically. And finally, the Pasuk says, when the Torah instructs the Yidden to go to the right judges, the Pasuk says, Tzedek, 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 Tirdoif, make sure that you seek out righteousness. And the Gemara says over there, the Gemara darshins on that posuk tzedek tzedek tirdoif, that depending on what city you're in, go for the biggest tzaddik in that city. Seek out the tzaddik, the Roish. Just as Rabbeinu Zal mentions in this Torah Kutimran, it's not enough to find a rabbi who's simply more religious than you. That's not good enough, because to the degree that the person understands how ill they are, to that degree, that the more ill, the greater a doctor they need. The lower a madrega, the higher a tzaddik he needs. By the Dayonim specifically, the Pasuk says, tzedek, tzedek, terdoif, and the Gemara darshins. In Lud, go for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was the most learned rabbi there. In each city, the Gemara gives a few examples, go for the biggest rabbi there. That's where this lesson is learned out from. And the Pasuk says, finishes, tzedek, tzedek, terdoif, leman tichya, so that you will live. Rabbeinu Zal explained in this Torah Kutimran that when you're dealing with this Malchus, you must see to it to be Mamshich Chiyus into the Malchus. Because Malchus itself kills. Horabonos Mekaberes, as Baalei always said. So Rabbeinu Zal said, you have to see to it to draw Chiyus into the Malchus. How do you do that? By plugging it into the three Yomim Toivim. By doing that, you're going to give Chiyus to the Malchus. That's why, again, when we talk about a Bezdin, the proper Bezdin, this Tzedek Tzedek Tirdoif, it won't result in death, but rather it'll be this Leman Tichya, it'll be a Hamshacha of Chiyus Dikdusha. These are two examples that we give of how Rav Nosson Zal uses a Torah Likutei Moran to understand the secret behind the mitzvahs of the Torah, so that when Hashem designed the Jewish court system, or the holiday of Pesach, when we see the instructions that the Chachamim give us to do, we have to understand that besides the simple pshat, besides the things that the Gemara tells us, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, certain basic reasons why we do these things, there's always much deeper reasons behind it. And one of the instructions that Rav Nosson Zal was given by Rabbeinu Zal was to take the Likutei Moran and use it as an eye-opener, literally, to open his eyes to whole new dimensions in the Torah, where the whole Shulchan Aruch, the whole Gemara, the whole Yiddishkeit, there's so much light that can be shed on it through the Likutei Moran. Halavai we should be zeche to learn Rabbeinu Zal's words and to understand them properly, and to know how to apply it to ourselves in the right way, especially in this case, in terms of seeking out and finding this Rebbe Emes, the Tzaddik Emes, Rabbeinu Zal, finding him in his Sforim, in all the Sforim HaKadoshim that Rabbeinu Zal left behind, and in the Talmidim Amitim of Rabbeinu Zal that are found in every single generation, and be zeche through them to draw this Chochma Tato of Kedusha, and to affect all the Tikkunim that are found in this Torah Likutei Moran, and in the end, to be zeche to this Hashir Yilochem Kaleil Hiskadish Chag, we should be zeche to see the ticket of the Koil Dikdusha Bishleimus, which will be with the coming of Moshiach. Any questions?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hold
it over here. Hopefully this should whet people's appetites a little bit to know what the Likutei Halachos is and how the Likutei Moran without the Likutei Halachos, in a sense, person doesn't know how to use it. These are all concepts which sound very lofty, but a person could come along and say, well, how does this relate to Yiddishkeit? How does this relate to a Shulchan Aruch? How does this relate to daily life? The Likutei Halachos is what makes the Kesher, what takes what Rabbeinu Zal presented as so awesome and so removed, and brings it very much down to Maisa in terms of our own lives. There's one interesting question that nobody asked to a degree. Rabbeinu Zal mentioned in this Torah Likutei Moran, at one point where he was talking about the Malchus Dikdusha versus the Malchus de Sitrachra, he said that Avram Avinu was Mesakein the Malchus Dikdusha. Avram Tikein Shachrus. Shachrus is Shachrus, the blackness, that pupil of the eye, right? That black dot of the eye, which represented the Malchus Dikdusha, the Chochmat HaTor. What is Shachrus? Chochom, Tom, Rosho, Sheine Deelisho. The Rosho is a Tikkun for the Malchus? What are you talking about? Since when is the Rosha a Tikkun in the Malchus of Kedusha? What role does he play? So for this, Rav Nosson Zal, in one place in the Likutei Halachos, gives an explanation Where Rav Nosson Zal says there's a pasuk in the Navi where it says, "Kol poyal Hashem lema'anehu, v'gam rosho liyoyim ro." Everything Hashem does is for himself, for his own meaning, for Hashem's kavod, and also the rosho on his bad day is also for the kavod of Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal explains that every single time that a rosho rises up and presents his ra, for example, in the story of Pesach, where it says rosho mohu oimer, and the rosho says his piece, and then it says v'af ato hake es shinov, that you should knock out his teeth, you should give him his answer. In other words, smash him, give him an answer that defeats him. Every time that happens, that's a tremendous revelation of the kavod of Hashem. Because the fact that this Rosha presented his Ra and was defeated means that nobody else can present that now as new. If a person would want to present this as an attack against Hashem, something to insult Hashem or to chas v'shalom go against Hashem in any way, the fact that this is was presented already and put down shows that there's nothing that's also part of the kavod of Hashem. Then Rav Nosson Zal adds, besides the fact that we know that Ben Rosha is also part of the Kedusha, because sometimes from the Rosha can come forth spectacular things. You have the case of Avraham Avinu who came from Terach. So the fact that Terach was a Rosha doesn't necessarily imply that the Kovod of Hashem can't come from him. Sometimes it's not on the first bounce, it's on the second bounce. It's indirectly. But still, the fact is that the Ben Rosha himself does definitely play a role in the Hiskalos of Hashem's Kovod and Malchus.